I just thought tonight, in the time that I got left, it's just a few minutes because I want to make sure we have departmental leadership, is I want to talk about anybody remember the purple walls? Anybody remember purple walls? Okay, over on the purple walls, we put I think it was on this wall, we actually put a sign and it said, whatever it takes. Was it on this wall? Does anybody remember? Was it on that wall? It was on that wall. And the reason for it was something Sharon said when we first arrived in Virginia Beach. And it was a slogan that has stuck with us. It is a slogan that is on the bottom of every job description of every employee at Wave Church. At least it used to be. I think it still is. And it is, I think, one of the greatest phrases of defining culture within any church, frankly, within any organization. If you can do anything worthwhile for God, it's going to take this spirit. Here's the story. Sharon, this is back in the days when we used to sell Christmas trees to pay for the land. Anybody, Seth, remember those days? Seth used to come to me and say, Steve, we got a land payment and we got to make a land payment. We don't have enough money to make the land payment. And so one of the things we did to help bring revenue in was sell Christmas trees. And so, hey, you got to do what you got to do. And that was something that was there that was working, was a revenue source. So we sold Christmas trees. And Sharon, we all took turn. Every one of us, including me, went out there and sold Christmas trees. I've spent many a day in the winter cutting off an inch of the bottom of the tree, putting on someone's roof racks, tying it up and waving goodbye. And many of them didn't give me a tip, but Sharon got all the tips. And one lady pulled into the parking lot, brought a tree. Sharon was the one doing the sales that day and into the night. And the lady pulled out, she said to Sharon, she goes, aren't you the pastor's wife? Which Sharon's never seen herself as being the pastor's wife. She sees herself as being Steve's wife. She sees herself as being, I see her as being co-pastor, not the pastor's wife. You with me here? She has much influence in this church as anybody, and I thank God for it. And this lady, and Sharon goes, well, yeah, my husband and I, you know, we pastor the church. And she goes, what are you doing out here in the freezing cold selling Christmas trees? She said, don't you have people who can do that? And she pulled out her business card and said, this is the business card. Funniest business card I think I've ever heard of in my life. It was so-and-so, the wife of a prophet. And it was her name, whatever that was, the wife of a prophet. She had a business card that defined who she was by she being the wife of a prophet. And she goes, you know, she was basically saying to Sharon, this is below you, that you shouldn't be out here selling Christmas trees. And she said, didn't you preach last Sunday or didn't you speak? Don't you lead? And Sharon goes, yeah, but I'm here to do, listen to the statement, whatever it takes to build God's house. And if tonight it means selling Christmas trees, cutting off the end of a Christmas to help raise finances to make sure we can pay for the debt of Seaboard Road, thank God that debt's gone. If that's what it means, that's what it means. And if tomorrow it's answering the phone as a receptionist, and if the day after that it's preaching the word of God or teaching, it's whatever it takes. And I just thought when Sharon said that, she was telling me the story, and she wasn't saying it in a criticism of this lady in no way. Anybody knows Sharon, she's not who she is. But I remember thinking to myself, that's a great statement of what I believe builds a great church. People who have a whatever it takes spirit. Some people say, well, to be in leadership, what do you have to do? Like if you're going to be on music team, what do you have to do? Well, you don't have to do anything to be on the worship team. You hear me here? You don't have to be on the worship team. But if you want to be on the worship team, the question that might be better asked is not what do we have to do, it's what do we get to do? Where's the bar? Where can I, you know what I mean? It's like, like maybe somebody look at the be a leader. Well, what do you have to do at Wave Church? Well, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to be a leader. But if you're looking for the bare minimum, that's never a spirit that's going to build a healthy church. You'll never build anything great for God with the have to do. It's want to do. It's get to do. Can't believe we're doing this. Amen? And I just want to, again, just talk about different people in the Bible who I think really did it. So a couple of thoughts here. Number one, a whatever it takes spirit, it's not about platform. If you have a whatever it takes spirit, it means you're walking out there in the lobby and you walk into a restroom and you notice the restroom's dirty. You don't go up to one of the staff and say of Wave Church and go, hey, you need to know the restrooms are dirty. You just go get a mop and clean the restroom. You help. It's not like something's beneath you. It's not like something's below you. It's we have a whatever it takes spirit. Now, maybe you need to ask, where is the mop? Do you know what I mean? But you're not coming, you know, we have somebody who's paid to do the cleaning of our facilities because, you know, we want to make sure it's done properly. We want to make sure a laborer is worthy of their hire. But the spirit of the house has to be a whatever it takes spirit. And it's not about the platform. Remember, sometimes early days, people on the worship team were saying, okay, well, I don't do roster on the children's ministry because I'm the worship team. Well, my attitude is, well, not anymore, you're not. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm thinking, what do you mean? Well, that's, and it's almost like that's, and these are people who have children in the children's ministry who don't want to once a month or once however often it is to help out in the kids program. Because, well, I'm a worship leader. Yeah, you are a worship leader. And part of worship is raising a godly family, investing into the generations to come. It's not like, well, and thank God, you know, amongst our team with our pastors, you know, there's my own daughter. She and her husband run Norfolk campus, but she'll come on a Sunday night and she's out there helping out in the nursery. She doesn't have a, well, I'm pastor's wife. She's a mum. She's got a kid who I love very much. And she's out there doing it because it's whatever it takes. Amen? So it's not about the platform. And number two, it's not about my ministry. Well, my ministry is. If we go down that road and that mentality of my ministry, it's such a dangerous way to compartmentalize and you almost get these lines of demarcation. You get this, you know, and if you're not careful, church departments, when you have my ministry, can become territorial. But we're all in this together. And if the children's ministry needs some help, and we've got an abundance of workers in another area, it's like these are my people, is we're in this to build a church and to do whatever it takes to make the church healthy. Amen? The Bible talks about your body and every part is important. And even the more unseen parts, God will see to it they get more honor in heaven than the parts that are more visible here on earth. And you ever kicked your toe and it really hurts. You don't want to turn the light on. You know, when you turn 50, you got to get up and go to the bathroom. And so you don't turn the light on and you're trying to find your way to the bathroom. And you kick something that wasn't, you didn't know was there. Isn't it amazing? You never paid attention to that toe before, but everything in your body runs to help the hurting toe. That's a great picture of how the body of Christ should work. And that's a great spirit, a great picture of whatever it takes. We're here to do whatever it takes. Number three, we must have, if you're going to have a whatever it takes spirit, you must have an unoffendable spirit. And Jesus said, Matthew 11, verse 6, to John the Baptist, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And John clearly was offended with the ministry of Christ. No doubt about it. He didn't like what Jesus is doing, questioned it. Are you the Messiah or should we look for someone else? And Jesus, go back and tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Good news are being preached to the poor. Broken hearts are being healed. And he goes, hey, John, you may not like the way I'm doing things, but it's working. I got a letter this week from someone, pretty strong letter, somewhat rebuking me for the men's conference because we played Bruce Springsteen music. Look, honestly, I like Bruce Springsteen, so that's probably part of the problem right there. And I'm thinking, what a shame that person didn't see all the good things that happened. 27 men that came forward and gave their life to Jesus. And years ago, like for me, it's water off a duck's back. What's funny is, I'll be honest with you, I ignore those emails. I do. I just don't. I probably don't even read them. Only I thought, well, I've read it enough to realize what it was. And because I just think to myself, you know, like, let's get an undefendable spirit. Let's not major on minors and minor on majors. And it wasn't during the worship. It was just background music at a men's conference, Bruce Springsteen. And if that's going to offend you and make you leave the church, better we do it now. And I'd rather we didn't offend you. I'd rather we actually had a bigger spirit. It's like the person who said, I'm leaving because the worship team was playing country and Western music on one of the Halloween nights. They said, country and Westerns are the devil. I said, I couldn't agree more. I'm not a country and Western fan. I'm really not. But I don't play country and Western music out there in the carnival for the community for what I want. It's for them. We're trying to reach out to a world. And the Holy Spirit, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not justifying secular music here. I'm just thinking we get hung up on things that, and people get offended and things. And, you know, to me, come on, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You know, if you have a whatever it takes spirit, you're going to get offended, but you make a decision. I choose to be blessed by not allowing this to offend me. It's going to happen. It is inevitable. Jesus said, listen, Luke chapter 17, look at this verse. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. Amen? And you talk about maybe a leader was too strong. You know, listen to what Elijah did. Elijah, the Bible says, 1 Kings 19, verse 3, he says he was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Bathsheba, it says in Judah, he just left his servant. He ditched him. There were many times when Elijah tried to get rid of Elisha. Imagine serving somebody who's trying to lose you. But Elisha wouldn't be lost. He goes, I'm with you. I want double portion. I recognize the gift that's on your life. May have to put up with an unruly mannerisms in the process. David had King Saul throwing spears at him. Someone says, I got hurt because the pastor didn't say hello. Because a leader didn't know my name. If you're going to have a whatever it takes spirit, you've got to make that decision. I'm just not going to get offended. I'm just going to understand there's a blessing in taking the higher road. Come on, someone say amen. And think about this. If you're going to have a whatever it takes spirit, you know, to me, I just think there's certain qualities that are really worth looking at. You know, think about Ruth. And Ruth replied, you know, don't argue me to leave you or to turn back from you. Wherever you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Well, here is Ruth saying to Naomi, and Naomi, he's trying to be a good mother-in-law, saying, listen, I understand you're not from these parts. I understand you're not familiar to all this. But, you know, if you want to go and be back with your own family because my son, your husband, died, I'm cool with that. You stay here. And I love what she says. No, no, no. Don't argue with me. Don't try and keep me here. Don't try and leave me behind. This is a great example of an Old Testament conversion of what the New Testament is going to look like when we meet Christ. She goes, wherever you go, I will go. Whatever you do, I will do. The words that come out of your mouth will be the words coming out of my mouth. Whatever you put your hands to, I'll put my hand to. Whatever you look at as important, I will look at as important. Where your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Whatever it takes. Come on, somebody say amen. That's what's going to build a healthy church. I would never, never put anybody on our staff that I didn't think, and I asked the question, if you didn't get this job, would you be in this church? You with me here? And sometimes you find out a lot about somebody when they don't have a job, why they were in the church when they don't have a job in the church. You gotta have a whatever it takes spirit. Come on, someone say amen. An unoffendable spirit. Here's Ruth going, doesn't matter. I may not understand your people. I may not understand your culture, but I will learn and I will be with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Here's Jesus talking to a woman, and the woman who knelt before him said, Lord, please help me. And she replied, he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Well, imagine if that's you. You'd be walking away, ringing CNN. Jesus just called me a dog. I asked him for help, and he said, it's not right. He said, there's another class that's more deserving. And listen to what she said. Yes, it is, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request has been granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Can I tell you, what builds a great church is a whatever it takes spirit. And Jesus knew that within this woman, there was that tenacity. He knew, he didn't call her a dog to insult her. He was trying to create a lesson because he knew what was in this woman. She would not be denied her miracle. He was going to pull out the very best in her. She had faith. I pray that maybe when life's challenges, as they come, and they will come, that we actually, Jesus has the same confidence in her. You can throw whatever you want at this person, but they've got an unoffendable spirit. Come on, somebody say amen. And you know, I think about somebody else who's got an unoffendable spirit. Without a doubt, Esther, you know, a whatever it takes spirit is Esther, whatever it takes. Listen to what she said. I love this. Esther 4, verse 16. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will go and do the same. And then, though it's against the law, I will go to see the king. If I die, I die. Whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes to see God's people free. I will stand before the king. I will risk my very life. Come on. That's a whatever it takes spirit. And I believe that's the spirit. If we're counting, if we're measuring, if we're, you know, and that don't be wrong. That's not an excuse to go and burn yourself out. Do you know what I mean? Some people say, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Who said you had to choose? Do you know what I mean? You can build your life with wisdom and have a whatever it takes spirit. Yes, you got to take care of yourself. Yes, when it comes to your finances, you need to make sure that you leave an inheritance for your children and your children's children. Yes, you need to make sure that you bring your tithe into the house of God. And I do believe, yes, we give offerings. But you don't give everything of your finances. You take care of your family. Come on, somebody say amen. But you're not counting. But what you are doing is with wisdom, you're building your life and you got a whatever it takes spirit. Amen? Come on. Maybe the last person I'm thinking of as I close is who's got a whatever it takes spirit. Has to be Jesus. Jesus, the Bible says, fixed his eyes on the cross. It says, for the joy that's set before him. Listen to what it actually says. It says, he set his eyes as flint. In other words, nothing and no one was going to get him distracted. He was destined to go to the cross. And he even prayed. You look at the scripture. Jesus prayed, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. But look at the whatever it takes. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. Wave Church, can I encourage us? Let's have a whatever it takes spirit. Come on. Let's have a whatever. Seaboard, let's have a whatever it takes spirit. And if we have that and we build our life with wisdom, I believe we can build it, build a church that is supernatural, that is sacrificial, that God blesses and God rewards. And you won't at the end of your life be burnt out on some rubbish heap. Amen? But you've built your life with wisdom and faith and knowledge and understanding, and you're 70 and 75 and 80, and you're just as strong to go to battle now as when you were 40. A different spirit, a Caleb spirit, a whatever it takes spirit. A whatever it takes spirit actually has already counted the cost. And it's nothing wrong with finding your place in a place where you need to count the cost. Are you hearing me? All right, I gotta count this cost before I go into this. I gotta know what it is I'm doing. Because the Bible says if you go and build a building and you haven't figured out the materials needed, the time, the effort, the finances, and you end up not finishing the building, it says the Bible calls that foolish. So you gotta count the cost. So whatever it takes, spirit, it's not like when I say whatever it takes, it's not asking the question have to do, but it is asking the question, what do we get to do? How do we get to build the kingdom? Before I was a Christian, my mother and father, they weren't Christians. I'd be out every night of the week. I wouldn't come home from work. I'd go to the pub. I'd be drunk. Many weekends, I wouldn't come home for the entire weekend. I'd just sleep on a beach. Get drunk, sleep on a beach. Get stoned, sleep on the beach. Many, many weekends. Many times I'd disappear for weeks on end. My parents, we didn't have cell phones. And they weren't all that worried about me. They were used to me just disappearing. And just because, you know, that's unfortunately what we did. When I became a Christian, my brother sat me down and said to me, this needs to stop. You're so busy in church, you don't have time for the family anymore. And I went, wait a minute. I'm home every night. You know where I am. I'm out 3-4 nights a week in church. And where I used to be in a bar and a club, and you wouldn't know if I was dead or alive, and you never once worried about me. Come on, someone say amen. Oh, thank you. There's some water here. Praise God. I got a little infection in my chest in New Zealand, and I haven't had a chance to stop speaking since I've been in New Zealand. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to take a chance now. Like I'm just going to speak tonight, then I'm going to be done till Sunday. That'll be a nice rest. Praise God. Listen, never once were you worried about me before when I was out there spending all that time sinning. But now you're telling me I'm spending too much time serving God. And I'm not going to let you pull me back into some feeling of guilt when I'm trying to build God's house. And frankly, I'm trying to build my life and trying to get all that out of my life and trying to get some new habits in my life. And by the grace of God, with that whatever it takes spirits, my family, my mother and father, my brother and sisters have all given their life to Christ. Amen. Don't lose the whatever it takes spirit. Now, I'd like to say the same's true with Sharon's mum and dad. That's been a 33-year journey. But you know, and I'll finish with this thought. I remember just the last Sam's wedding. Was it Sam's wedding? Or I think it was. Sam's, when Sam was getting married, Sharon's dad sat in the car and he grabbed me by the arm. And let me tell you something. Sharon's mum and dad feel like their closest friends in the world are people here at Wave Church. Seriously. And he grabbed me by the arm and he goes, Steve, all those years I gave you a hard time about how engaged in church you were. And he did give me a hard time. He used to try and start arguments. Jesus was a communist. Jesus was socialist. And, you know, he would do everything he could to get in arguments. He never agreed with the life that we lived and didn't like it one little bit. But he grabbed me by the arm. He said, listen to me. I want to say thank you for being such a good father. I want to say thank you for being such a good husband to my daughter. And I said, Trevor, it's all good. He goes, no, listen to me. And he said, look at me. You were right. I was wrong. I look at your children. I look at the choices you've made to build your kids into the house of God. He goes, everything I thought was wrong. I want to tell you, thank you. I'm telling you, that meant more to me. And if we can just keep living the whatever it takes spirit, some people might take longer than others, but you keep living out that life. Don't burn yourself out. But there are seasons when you're busy. There are seasons when you got the pedal to the metal. Amen? But there are just that whatever it takes spirit. What do I get to do? How can I be involved? And you count the cost. And you do it over the long haul. I promise you, the kingdom will advance. Your life will be blessed. And even those around you who don't understand it right now, one day they'll see it for what it is. Sharon and Sharon's own brother, Sharon's dad really raised Sharon's brother a lot like what he thought someone should live. And to see that, this is what he said. I look at my son and I wished I did for my son what you've done for your kids. Amazing. Can I just say, come on, it's worth it in the long haul. Let's have a whatever it takes spirit. Can you say amen?